Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. I'm your host Srini Patsadi and I'm joined by my co-host Venkat. The IPL is in full swing and it's kind of the week's end now. And the table is slowly starting to take shape. There's a lot of cricket being played apart from the IPL. Obviously the Women's World Cup and South Africa and Bangladesh a test match. We'll look at all of those things and also a number of matches in the IPL. How are you, Venkat?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks, Srini. Yes, there's plenty of action to discuss.
Yeah, we'll probably look at focus specifically on the Chennai games and a bit in the IPL, and then we'll look at all of the other matches that have taken place. But let's probably start with looking at what's happening in the wider world of the cricket before we specifically focus on the IPL. The one place, I guess, the obvious place to start is the Women's World Cup. So it's a bit like, what we used to say with the IPL, with the yellows, so to speak, except, I suppose you could say, argue that it's a baggy green, but for the sake of our podcast, let's go with the Aussies in the yellows. It right from the beginning of the World Cup, I think, it was all of the other teams playing to see who would come runner-up to the Australians.
Yeah, they've had a record 26 match winning streak. I remember Australia men's team having that. Ricky Ponting, 21, I think, was the most. I think India was the one to break that, if I'm not wrong.
I think it was more of the test matches. India broke the 16 match record, isn't it? But yeah, you're right. I think this is a phenomenal. I read a report or a kind of somewhere saying Australia have seven genuine bowlers who could potentially walk into any of the other women's team.
Yeah, they were planning backups is what I read in the news. Yeah. So you can imagine Ali Sahiri's 170. Yeah, that's just phenomenal in a World Cup final. Natalie Skipper, poor thing, away 148 in vain. It must be disheartening, but that summarizes the World Cup absolute domination by Australians.
Exactly. I mean, that you would argue a 148 in a World Cup final on any other given day would have won the World Cup.
Yeah.
if somebody just said, oh yeah, Natalie was scored 148 in a World Cup final, you would think she probably won the World Cup.
Yeah.
But it was phenomenal. I mean, England actually scored 285 and yet lost by 70 runs. That is the margin, scoring 356 in a World Cup final. Australia or you go back to the Australia that from the sort of 2000s, which kept winning multiple World Cups in the men's World Cup. This women's World Cup is probably at par to that, or even better,
higher, I would say, yes.
The amount, the way they are dominating, as I said right at the beginning, they probably had seven genuine bowlers. Equally, they had nine genuine batsmen, who would probably walk into any of the other teams, kind of almost giving them 16 players. Although some of them are batsmen and bowlers, 11 players, but that's the kind of strength that they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a one-sided World Cup final, you would say. I guess when you look at it and say, a team lost by 71 runs, you think it's really one-sided. It wasn't as one-sided as it sounds. It was just Australia were so, so good that England's best wasn't good enough. They needed to be above their, it's scary.
Yeah,
it's scary where this team will go, and it's not they are they've reached their peak, and the team's kind of going good on. It's not really that. Yeah. Some of the players who've come in as replacement and youngsters and stuff, they are also of very, very good caliber. So you think this is not a transition team, it's properly well built.
Yeah, it's a genuinely high performing team. At least the flat of the curve, if not peaking. I see what you're saying.
You would think the peak, they're probably some of the players have climbed the peak, but then the others who are coming in place, it goes back to, I guess, their fantastic domestic and the women's BBL. You know, we've been calling this for the women's IPL. I'm pretty sure, like, you know, if the women's IPL starts, yeah, it will make a massive difference for women's cricket in India at a global stage. We've seen that from IPL. I think you and I probably were discussing with, you know, the other day. In generally, we're just having a chat about how many people from our men's IPL have made into the Indian team. I think Hanuma Vihari, even people who moved into the from the white ball format into the red ball format, there were so many of them who actually the initial product. You can go back all the way to like R. Ashwin. Sure, like R. Ashwin did a lot of, you know, in the Ranji Trophy and stuff, but he came to four with his initial performances in CSK, and since he's gone on to become phenomenal. I mean, we can just pick names like, you know, Rahul, Hardik Pandya, Rishabh Pant, Ishan Kishan.
I think pretty much everybody's really who play in the men's cricket team. So yes, I get your point. You're saying that yes, the India team, Indian women's team in particular, would really be benefited by if we had a domestic structures in terms of IPL. We'll wait to see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's because it's just not about the cricket, isn't it? It's about playing under the pressure situation and kind of learning to deliver. You know, when we look at in a few moments, you know, when we look at this, the IPL games that have currently taken place, we can see the number of uncapped Indian players that are coming to fore in terms of their performances.
Yep.
Again, you know, there's a new breed. You know, this season we'll probably have a look. Anyway, we should probably end that in note. You know, just thinking, Alisa Healy and Mitchell Starc. I wonder, like, you know, how big their trophy cabinet is.
Yeah, they must be bored of winning World Cups now.
Yeah, they must have all of the ICC trophies at their house, you know, in their cabinet. Let's move on. You know, there's another Test match taking place which just finished today. Did you see the Bangladesh versus South Africa Test match?
I caught a little bit of a glimpse of that once somebody tweeted or pinged me in WhatsApp saying, did you see the collapse? And it was collapsed by epic proportions. Yeah, I think one of the things that I want to mention is the first time since 1970 that South Africa have played two spinners in home test. And then I think this is the first time only two spinners bowled for the 10 wickets. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think you should. Well, all you can say is the world's gone mad. In a country like South Africa, who's known for, you know, the Dale Steyns of the world, and there's not a single pace bowler that's bowled. They opened with spinner, and they opened with two spinners at both end, and in 19 overs the spinners have wrapped up against an Asian team. You know, it's not even like the spinners have wrapped up against an England or an Australia, but a proper Asian team, and it's not even in Asian conditions, it's actually in South African conditions.
In Durban, no less. But it's strange how they have capitulated, but it happens to the best of the teams. So I think South Africa.
Let's not forget the 36 all out.
Yeah, exactly.
And this isn't even South Africa's first choice 11, so to speak. So it's excellent. But I think Bangladesh played well in the white ball series and won that series. This test match,
it's a good payback.
It's a good payback. South Africa, like, you know, on the climbing up the ladder on the test championship. They travel to Australia later this year, so it'll be interesting, you know, the test championship table taking shape as well.
Thing I just before moving on, Srini, if that's okay, I think I read the report and I think it should be covered in the news section, is that Bangladesh are going to lodge a formal complaint against with ICC against Durban test umpiring. I haven't heard about, you know, how any previous episodes like this, but there were a number of LBWs, but most importantly what the report said was Bangladesh sees they weren't happy about South African sledging, that the match officials weren't taking charge or taking control of the situation. we'll wait to see what happens in that.
Yeah, it's okay. That's surprising news. Not heard that before, where sledging has been kind of in a cause for umpire, and we'll wait to see what
Yeah.
happens. But anyway, the crux, this podcast, we primarily, as we say, we are biased against the yellows in Chennai Super Kings. It's not a great time to be a Chennai Super Kings fan. Although, going back a couple of seasons, we it's not different. We should probably start with the two Chennai Super Kings game before we have a look at all of the other rest of the matches in the IPL.
Yeah.
Chennai, I'm just trying to think. It's been a few years now where one, you never know which team turns up. They
Yeah.
could either be at their absolute peak best, or they could be absolute worst. It kind of feels that like the Chennai Super Kings of 2020, was it, when
Yeah.
we really finished at the bottom,
Bottom, yeah.
has turned up. So starting with, let's look at the first game. I mean, before we kind of look at the game with Lucknow against Lucknow Super Giants and then Punjab Kings, I did want to call out one particular thing. Shivam Dubey's performance, has been standout in both the games. Really fantastic batting in both games, and he scored a half century in both innings. That's it's good to see, one performer. But just going back to the first game, Lucknow versus Chennai. Again, before we kind of get into the yellows, I think that was the first game I actually looked at the. I don't. I think the Lucknow played a game before, isn't it, against GT?
Yeah.
But I probably hadn't noticed. This was the game I noticed. I mean, what's with their uniform? The
Yeah,
jersey color with Lucknow.
that's just hilarious. I mean,
It's
I think it's look like something that a fifth grade child would design and say, here is yeah, that's strange color combination.
yeah. They've had I mean, they've had experience with when they were like the Pune Super
Super
Giants.
Giants.
They could have just bought in that
Yeah, that same
jersey
jersey would have
as,
looked fantastic.
yeah. It's like, oh, I can't believe they have to wear that this entire year season. Hopefully, like next year, they move on and change. But anyway, I thought I'd just mention it. It's just so ridiculous. Must definitely be the worst jersey of ever in the history of IPL.
Without a doubt.
So that game, I think, well, the first good news was Moeen Ali was back, after his visa issues and stuff. He was back and started well. And 210. I know. I think we were having this discussion during the game.
Yeah.
Some of us, during on a WhatsApp, and somebody said, "Oh, I think they need at least 220."
Yeah.
When they got to 210, I had a feeling it was a par score, but I wasn't certain, but it still felt 210 was a par score, but defendable score.
No, I think Moeen Ali also said in the mid-game discussion, I think there was an interview and he said they are a very good team, they bat deep. So I think there was a doubt already amongst the batting, I mean CSK unit, that score was, just chaseable. So
Yeah, the one call out for India, I mean, I've already mentioned Shivam Dubey's batting, but one of the things on that game was Ravi Bishnoi, who only went for 6 runs per over. That, I mean, the 210, again, as you say, there was due right from when CSK were batting itself. There was due even in the first innings.
Yeah.
And the ball was an absolute soap bar, when they were bowling. I remember when Dhoni came in and hit for the six off the first ball, over cover, which is,
Yeah.
I think I tweeted to say Dhoni had come in turbo mode sort of thing. But yeah, I was just mentioning Ravi Bishnoi, for a leg spinner to bowl for just over 6 runs, in, you know, it's in a normal game, T20 game or normal game, you know, leg spin is probably the more difficult odd to ball, you know,
Yeah.
keep controlling the ball. But especially when you've got dew and the ball's wet and slippery, it must be so difficult to control that ball. Him just going for 6 runs when like every other Lucknow bowler went around the park, you can see that there is something special in terms of, you know, Ravi Bishnoi is bowling.
Yeah. He got a couple of wickets as well, didn't he? So yeah, I think it's just phenomenal. I think three boundaries were hit off his bowling, but it's just phenomenal bowling. Yeah, I was watching that game very closely as usual, but that was it was I knew that he got his rhythm.
Yeah, you know, excellent batting from him when that was a game. Dhoni scored 16 off 6 balls, which is like, you know, a very, very rarity these days.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Dhoni scoring 16 off 6 balls.
Yeah,
When.
I mean, what was really, I think you also mentioned Shivam Dubey, that he reminded you of Yuvraj Singh. And ever since you said that, I've been watching him, and he is like exactly like that, the power hitting, the timing as well as power. I think that's the combination. Left-hander, similar attitude, I suppose. Yeah, you're spot on,
He
Shivam.
looks so much like, you know, the way the arc comes down the bat.
Yeah.
You know, the last game as well against Punjab, you know, some of the sixes he hit, both over kind of co-corner, you know, that flick that, you know, Yuvraj used to have, it's
Yeah.
just so languid, you know, across. And then there was one, I think he hit over mid off, sort of, you know, sort of long offish. Again, it so reminded me, like, you know, in terms of the way the arc comes down the bat and everything else, and the height and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If he has half the career of Yuvraj, you know, he will be a very, very
I was just
successful
going to say that.
player.
He's what? He's coming close to 29. And so hopefully they pick him for India. And he can shine through for the next 3 or 4 years or 5 years, whatever career he's left in him. So,
So, fingers crossed, that one. That particular Lucknow game, I think, again, I know when we discussed the guys didn't agree sort of thing, you know, but Moeen dropped Quinton de Kock, which was an absolute sitter very early on, and then Quinton went on to score 61. That you never know, but, you know, I think that may well have made a
yeah,
difference. And in the
that
end,
ball against Srini, I mean, I think the wetness, if it is, you know, soaking wet, it's that much more difficult to catch. But you know, Moeen Ali born and brought up in Birmingham, I suppose you're expected to play in wet conditions
I mean,
all your
especially, like, you know, he plays for Worcester,
life.
which half the time, like, you know, it's flooded, the ground is at Grace Road.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, those things happen, like, you know, it's not, you can't blame, you know, those things happen, you know, catches get dropped, you know. I think again yesterday's game, similarly with Livingston, you know, Rydoo dropped, I think it was Rydoo, isn't it, dropped an
Rider drop sitter.
absolute sitter, like, you know, it was a goober. And then he Livingston went on to, like, you know, went on a rampage after that as well. Just going back to the Lucknow game, you know, we shouldn't forget to mention, I mean, we talked about Ayush Bhadauni in the previous game around Lucknow versus GT in the
Yeah.
last podcast. And again, this time around, you know, he came in, he was so cool. 19 of 9 balls, but it was fantastic batting. For me, the two games, you know, I'm still not convinced about Jadeja's captaincy. I know I read an article this morning, you know, which mentioned that Jadeja, it was not like a complete surprise drop down the eve of the beginning of the tournament.
Yeah,
Apparently,
yeah.
Dhoni said to him months ago that, you know, he was going to hand over the captaincy, so he was kind of almost mentally prepared. So that's probably not. But I'm there's just, I mean, it is too early to call. I know it's only been 3 games. I know he's lost all 3 games, but I still haven't. I'm yet to be convinced. Like, you know, tactically, Jadeja's got the thing. As a captain, maybe he'll prove us all wrong. And, you know, if not this IPL, Well, I don't want to give up too early on this IPL. It's only 3 games. There's still plenty of, there's still 11 games left, so plenty of time to turn the tide around. But some of the decision makings, like that Lucknow game, bowling Shivam Dubey for just one over, and that, I think that was like over number 18 or
Then
something like that.
19 wasn't
Eight,
it?
I think, well, it was 18th over, I think.
Yeah, nine, yeah.
Which, well, may might have been the 19th, I can't remember, like 18th or the 19th. But yeah, he had like brought him in cold at that point in time, and then Dubey ended up going for 25 of that over. Now I get it, like, the you couldn't bowl a spinner at that late. Jadeja had bowled a couple, and Ali Moeen Ali had bowled just one, so you had to find one more over. And given how wet and the dew and stuff, you couldn't bowl a spinner. I get that, but that was kind of where my take was in terms of, like, getting him, making sure that either him or, I mean, the game might well have finished early. Like, I know some one of our friends said, like, well, if he had bowled him earlier, the game might have finished earlier. Maybe it may have, maybe it may not have. We don't know.
Yeah.
But really, bringing somebody who hasn't really bowled at all and asking them to bowl the 18th or the 19th over, it's too much pressure, you know.
Yeah, I think it is still, I wouldn't draw conclusions yet, but I see your point. It lacks the tactical nuance of what probably a Faf du Plessis might have done in that situation. I think, I'm comparing an ex CSK player. So yeah, I mean, we'll wait to see. I think Dhoni still is on his ears at some points in time, so it must be a collective decision. Let's see. Next two, three games, as we were talking just before this podcast, it's still early days for the entire group. I mean, for the entire IPL, it's still early days if we played at best 3 games. Sometimes I think I remember one season where Mumbai lost like 5 games and they had to win like crazy amount of games to come back. So it could be that one of those things. But I still think that there are some laggards in this early table already.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's like the two biggest teams in the history of IPL, Mumbai and Chennai, they both haven't won yet. Chennai have played 3 games, lost 3. Mumbai have played 2, lost 2. So it's not all is lost. But Mumbai are notoriously slow starters. They start slow,
Yeah.
and then pick it up. But with CSK, I think momentum is key. Like, they need to. If this was like, two separate tables where Group A had its own table and Group B had its own table, I would have said maybe possible. But the thing to remember is, like, there's a combined table, so which means getting into the top four. Some of the other teams, to be fair, have really, like, done well in the auction.
Yep.
Beat Gujarat or KKR, Rajasthan, and everybody else. So there is a, you I know it's only 3 games, there's still, like, plenty of games to go. But then equally, like, you can't you will start to feel the pressure at some point. So it's one of those things. My thought is, like, if the Chennai management and Dhoni, etc., knew that, Dhoni was going to relinquish his captaincy and hand it over to somebody, I think they should have made a play for Faf du Plessis. They shouldn't
Yeah,
have let him go. He
without a doubt.
was the obvious choice. I mean, unless they had already made the decision that even if Faf du Plessis was there, Jadeja was going to be the captain, and hence they didn't mind. That I think that's a cardinal mistake. If they knew, like, the captaincy was going to be changing hands,
Yeah,
they should have made sure that,
I
Faf du
was
Plessis was
surprised
done.
reading at that report, and I thought exactly the same. Like, if he knew already before the auction, yeah, I think that I think it could be a it could be a decision that we they might be happy about at the end of it. As I said, it's still early days. We'll see.
Yeah. The other CSK game, I guess we should just touch about it. This was yesterday's game. I mean, Punjab scored 180 for 8. And to be honest, just looking at Punjab scoring 180 for 8, you think, oh, well, okay, the start that Punjab had, and Liam Livingstone and Shikhar Dhawan. They should have gone out to score 200 plus. It was great bowling, you know. Don't get me wrong, it's really fantastic bowling by Chennai to pull Punjab back. Dwayne Pretorius, Jadeja, you know, Chris Jordan. Even Chris Jordan went for only 23 of the 4 overs. So it was like really great bowling that what them pulled back. But again, you had similarly shoddy fielding. Fielding seems to be one area that it probably needs to improve.
Yeah, that drop catch again, you know, from one of
Raidu.
Raidu was just an absolute goober, as you said. Again, bad conditions. He again made up for that with a catch. But by the time, you know, Liam Livingstone just exploded, and some of the sixes were like,
it's like, you know, five sixes of out of, you know, he scored what, 60 of 32 balls.
Yeah.
Really, really, like, you know, and I know Punjab kind of, you know, are going to the mode where almost like the way the England team bats, they just don't care. You know, everybody who comes in just goes after the bowling kind of thing. But even with that, one of the things, the downside sometimes can be is like, you know, you end up just scoring 180. I know, you know, yesterday you would say like, you know, 180 was good. Batting from CSK again, Shivam Dubey, as I mentioned earlier, the only shining light, you know, scoring 57. Dhoni did his usual neither here nor there innings.
Yeah, I thought Dhoni waited for too long before he. But I think that balance is where it was earlier. He used to be master in terms of when to pick up. And I thought yesterday, that was my personal feel, that he waited too long. Maybe five, six deliveries, seven, maybe six, seven deliveries more later. I think he didn't have a chance when he started going. That was what I was going to say, that even if he hit every ball to six at that point in time, he still, I thought he ran over.
Yeah, I mean, though Dhoni, you know, off late, we've seen, like, you know, against left-arm spin and right-arm leg spin, you know, as soon as I think Dhoni came into bat, they brought in Rahul Chahar to bowl the leg spin. We've seen this against Warren Chakravarti as well. He's not quite got it, you know, quite the starter against leg spin and left arm spin. So that sort of straight away. There was an over, you know, where Liam Livingstone actually went for just 3 runs. I mean, that's like cardinal when you need almost 12 and over to let a bowler like Liam Livingstone bowl go for 3. It's seriously poor batting. But once like, you know, I mean, last year's orange cap Gaikwad hasn't fired at all in three games.
He's been struggling. Robin Uthappa played a strange across the line hike and straight up. Yeah, there were so many things that
I mean, yesterday's game, I think, like, don't get me wrong, you know, there was good bowling, you know, that young kid Vaibhav Arora seemed to bowl quite well, but Punjab, like, you know, they actually took the pitch out of the equation. They actually managed to, like, you know, swing the ball. Some of the shots, though, like, you know, Jadeja's shot, Moeen Ali, they were so lazy, you know, trying to play a waft. There was no foot movement, you know, and then inside edge onto the, especially when the ball is swinging. Moeen Ali's shot was, you know, so lazy, if you like, you know, just no foot movement, just, you know, so much playing away from the body. But they have to think about something. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think in terms of, you know, from a personal change, what really can Chennai do from a squad perspective, I guess. I'm struggling in my head to think of, like, you know, who really. Devon Conway, they already tried in the first game, is the obvious. But, well, if they bring in Devon Conway, who do they drop from a.
Yeah, if Gaikwad is struggling, I think they will go for Conway one more time to see, because Robin Uthappa has got some experience, at least he hasn't.
Yeah, but they bring in, like, you know, Conway, because they've already got their four foreigners, Chris Jordan, Dwayne Pretorius, Dwayne Bravo, and Moeen Ali. So one of those four has to make way for Devon Conway.
Yeah, I think Pretorius probably is the obvious choice. They would always play Bravo. He did decent.
Yeah,
But
and Pretorius bowled well, Jordan in the death.
yeah.
Who else can, in terms of the opening the bowler? Well, I mean, if they move Moeen Ali up, I don't know whether the if they're going to drop Gaekwad. I would probably try and
That's a good
get
point.
Moeen Ali to open and
Moeen
see,
Ali, yeah.
what Rajwardhan Hungerkar
Yeah,
he.
that, again, that's a good option. I think left right would be a good option because it just puts that much more pressure on if you have two right-hand batters opening. It just gives the bowling team a little bit more room to play with. Yeah, I think let's see how what they change. But I reckon your suggestion of moving Ali up is not a bad one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shit. The Deepak Chahar's injury has thrown, the whole bowling
Yeah.
into a complete mess. I can't, without Deepak Chahar, the bowling just doesn't seem to have the
Feels so
teeth in it.
incomplete.
It's like, this bowling is not something that opposition batsmen will fear.
No. We'll see. Again, I don't want to, kind of say there is it is the end of the road for CSK. They've just but start is a start, as you said. So we got to taper this. We got to take that into consideration. Yeah, I mean, we'll wait and see, Srini. I mean, next week we have what? How many? Couple of more games. So we'll see
Yeah,
how.
let's just quickly have a fixtures, to see who Chennai play next week, isn't it?
I hope it is
So just,
SRH.
yeah, I think SRH on Saturday. So yeah, that's the only. Actually, no, next week they play. So this week on Saturday before our next podcast, I think the only game we've got is Sunrise Hyderabad. Yeah, so that's probably the only game. Sunrise, it's the clash of the bottom of the table.
As we speak, Shri, if it helps,
Well, it doesn't. I know what you're probably going to say. No, it doesn't help saying the fact that there's a good possibility that. Oh, actually, no, it's not as lost. I
No,
thought.
exactly. That's
Oh
what I
yeah,
was going to say. They
that
just
helps.
yeah.
Because I wasn't watching the game. That's. I mean,
I don't know how they managed to lose this game. They were well on track to
yeah, I
win.
think I had a look at it but at the beginning of this recording of this podcast. I had a quick look, and I they. Yes, actually, I'm failing for words. I thought they would just walk because they were four down and they needed like 30 odd runs.
Yeah.
That's surprising. So yeah, so it is going to be the clash of the bottom two teams, Chennai and Sunrisers. So anyway, so moving on to let's have a look at this is a good time to move on from Chennai and look at the rest of the match. Before we do look at the rest of the game, let's just quickly have a look at the table. So right now, as we speak, after this game, which would have been game number 11, I think that's just concluded, isn't it? That's yeah, game number. No, sorry, yeah, it would be number 12 actually. Punjab versus Chennai was 11. This is so it's 12 games gone. So it's almost, as you said, one seventh of the tournament is complete, and where's the table? Most teams have played two games each, and a couple of them have played three.
Yeah.
The four surprising teams on the top, Rajasthan, KKR probably not so much. They generally are there and
Yeah,
thereabouts.
yeah.
So Rajasthan sitting right on the top. Yeah, they've definitely got a very good team, Rajasthan.
Gujarat as well, on the top.
Punjab and on the fourth, I'm just trying to think of they are four strong teams. I know Punjab and KKR have played three games each, but yeah, you think both
Yeah.
Rajasthan and Gujarat have two out of two ones.
If you really look at it, Srini, actually, it's five teams at the top because Punjab and Lucknow, very minor difference in the run rate. Otherwise, they are all on par. So that just goes to show, you know, that even at this early stage, the new teams are making an impact. Titans, and they might go collapse and then, you know, go back. But this initial surge is definitely down to the auction. It just shows, isn't it, what we felt when at the end of auctions. SRH had the worst auction by a mile. I think CSK injury plus some auction issues. Yeah, so you can see that.
Yeah, so let's kind of have a brief look on the rest of the games that were played last week, and we can probably do it. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to talk by them match by match, but probably look at sort of some key performances across those games. I mean, the first one was we were talking about that group leaders and stuff like that, top team. So let's just pick KKR and Punjab. I guess that was how shall we do this? What's the best way?
Let's go with some of the performances, KKR and Punjab. The performance of the week was that would be one of the themes that we could explore, or as you said, or look at conditions. For example, batting teams, batting first was not advantageous for the initial conditions because of the dew, but now we are seeing that it is starting to level out. So that's one area that I wanted to see emerging as a theme across all the games, but now they've stemmed that and made it almost on par.
It's slightly changed now, isn't it? I know the first few games it was almost we were discussing off air, saying if you win the toss, there was almost a very good chance you bat first, you field first, and then with the new advantage you then kind of bat second and essentially chase it. But obviously Chennai lost, SRH have lost today, and so it's slightly changing the teams batting second, the results were changing. But let's go by sort of game by game. I think the first games that we looked at last week after the last game we had looked at was the LSG versus GT, isn't it? So RR versus SRH. That game, I know before SRH lost today, they had a -3 as the run rate, after that first game. Rajasthan absolutely went berserk, scoring 210. Successfully, I think, defended to, that total in the IPL. They were the first team. The kind of change, Sanju Samson's quick 27 ball, 55.
The thing that stands out is the number of no balls that they bowled.
Yeah.
I think we bowled one. I think they gave life to who?
Josh Butler. Very first over, he was out of a no ball when he hadn't even scored. He was on a duck, and then that was a no ball. I think it was something like four no balls the first five overs.
Yeah,
that's criminal, in terms of then they dropped Josh Butler off off another no ball.
Yeah.
So it's like that kind of if you give life. Opportunities there, people will take. Sanju Samson, everybody kind of, considering what Josh Butler did in yesterday's, was it the day before? I think pretty much the top order of Rajasthan is kind of coming to form.
Yeah.
He scored 100, Sanju Samson's got a 50. Devdutt Padikkal, he got 40-yard Shimran Hetmyer, he scored well. So pretty much they are top, both from a batting and bowling perspective.
Yeah.
Rajasthan seemed to be coming well. And one of the best bowling attacks, I would say, they've got in terms of...
They've got Ashwin.
Yeah, they've got Ashwin. They've got Yuzi Chahal. They've got Trent Bolt and Prasidh Krishna. Yuzi Chahal bowled beautifully that game against... picking up a 3-4 against the Sunrisers. And then the day before yesterday, bowling against MI... He should have had a hat-trick if not for Karun Nair dropping
That was a difficult. I wouldn't say that as a job. He made a chance out of it. It was,
Yeah, I think.
and the first day, Srini, I mean, he should have anticipated that, but yes, it was just coming at him on pace. He made an attempt. Yes.
I think Chahal might disagree with you, but it's not every day that he gets a chance to get a hat trick.
My heart always goes out to people who drop catches because
Yeah, so I mean, again, sort of just carrying on with the theme of Rajasthan Royals, Jos Buttler was amazing batting, amazing. First 100 of this year's IPL against MI, I mean against MI, no less team. It's MI are one of the top
They
teams,
got a
very
decent bowling attack, you would
yeah,
say. Yeah,
and for him to like take everyone to the cleaners,
it
picking,
was
yeah,
really good.
there was like really kind of good batting there, bowling wise, again, MI, yeah, talking about people like Jasprit Bumrah and Jamal Mills bowling at the death. I know they wish they had Jofra Archer, I guess, at that time, but
Who I think would Jos Buttler would have played so much in the nets.
yeah, I think. So let's just pivot on from kind of we're talking about Rajasthan Royals, and the Mumbai Indians the last game, and let's just have a look at how Mumbai are doing. Again, as we said right at the beginning, the two of the giants of IPL, Mumbai and CSK. Mumbai have lost two out of two, but they, you said, they're slow starters. Ishan Kishan, though, Rohit Sharma really hasn't fired in yet. He's still struggling to get to form, whereas Ishan Kishan's been fantastic. I think
Contender, orange cap.
he's got the orange cap at the minute with, I think, with Jos Buttler, before the start of this match. I don't know whether anything's changed after this one. One other person to kind of look at from Mumbai Indians is Tilak Verma. He got like a 61 of 33 balls. He looked, again, another one of those left-handers who seem to be like, just excellent batting. So we there's a theme running there in terms of the number of uncapped Indian players. We mentioned Ayush Bhadani earlier. Tilak Verma is another one of them. I think there's a few of them we should probably keep an eye out on this year. No, I think talked about Vaibhav Warora from in LSG. He bought no, Vaibhav Warora, I think, was Punjab Kings, isn't it? He
Punjab.
was well. You talked about Abhinav. Was it Abhinav Manohwar in the last game?
He was phenomenal.
Lalit Yadav was another one. There's a few of them, like unknown names from the Indian contingent that seem to be like coming to the fore. When I think the first episode of the IPL podcast, I said like oh, it's 10 teams, that's the quality get diluted. Possibly like I said like the bowling was none of the teams with the Indian bowling attempt seems to be what, but there's definitely what this 10 team has done is like stretch teams and like new opportunities for a lot of Indian uncapped players. So that
Livelihood as well, Srini. It is. It's going to help settle them down and have their talent come to the forefront. So, you know how it is when you're not sure. So they can't express themselves now. I think most of the new players, they almost seem like already experienced. So this is
yeah,
good.
there is so much sort of coming to the fore of those players. It'll be interesting to see how those turn out. Let's look at how DC are doing. What's the DC have played a couple of I think DC have played a couple of games now in terms of where they are lost to Gujarat Titans. And they won their other game, which was probably the earlier games that the I don't know if you watched. I mean, I haven't watched all of the games. I've watched the weekend doubleheaders. I think that interesting. There was no doubleheader yesterday, but yeah, watched it. But the rest of the stuff, I kept an eye on in terms of the highlight. I mean, that DC GT game again. Shubman Gill, his 84. That's the Shubman Gill we've known,
Yeah,
in Australia we saw last year.
I saw he was picking lengths so early. That was what stood out in that game for me. He was like fetching things outside off stump. I think he's tried one too many, but I was thinking he would go for a century. But then he fetched one from wide outside off stump. That was resulted in his downfall. But that innings, as you rightly said, reminded me from Australia. He was picking lengths so early and depositing it cow corner. So that makes it very difficult for bowlers if you pick good length and start hitting.
Yeah, I mean the other important thing for me that came out of that match, Hardik Pandya actually opening the bowling. I mean,
Yeah.
not long ago, I for sure said if Hardik Pandya cannot bowl or doesn't bowl, then there's no point in picking him for the T20 World Cup, in the back in the Indian team, because
Yeah.
Venkatesh Iyer can do a job that's similar to Hardik Pandya. But it was great to see Hardik Pandya not only bowl his 4 overs but actually open the bowling for GT. So that, I
He
think.
looked good. He looked good in that game. He was very sprightly, length, line. It was Ben Stokes' length in terms of bowling. So,
Yeah, so, him both bowling right at the opening and also from a batting perspective, coming where he is, I think it bodes well for Hardik. Hopefully, and captaincy will probably, that responsibility
yeah.
definitely is something that's probably sitting well with him. So fingers crossed that goes well for him. So that's probably the two standouts from Gujarat and the Delhi, and we've already talked about kind of Lucknow. Yeah, they won today. That's probably the one team which we
I
haven't
would
kind of.
say Srini, SRH lost their Lucknow one.
Yeah, SRH lost, but Lucknow.
18 ball 33. That's the equation. That means what you are looking at is just three boundaries of 18 balls, and then it's a runnable chase. Yeah, I
Yeah.
think roughly that's what it is, isn't it? That's how I would plan. I said, okay, in the next 3 overs, I need to hit three boundaries. Finished.
I mean,
Anyway.
yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I said it right at the beginning. I'm not convinced with the SRH team. They might well actually prop up CSK if CSK keep doing the same thing in the end. But yeah, it's good to see KL Rahul come back into form.
Yeah.
Deepak Hooda as well. So QDK still hasn't delivered, in today's game. So hopefully, QDK. So they seem to be a good team. I think the one team which we haven't mentioned at all in this podcast, we kind of briefly talked about them, sort of is KKR. They've got a very, very good team, and they just kind of, I'm not quite saying they're going under the radar as such, but they are just doing what they did. I know the last match against Punjab, Andre Russell really went to town, sort
Oh,
of. That
that
was
was just
some batting. Eight sixes, scoring 70 of 31 balls. It was. Yeah, if Venkatesh Iyer and Shreyas Iyer don't get you, then Andre Russell will. They've got a decent bowling as well. Umesh Yadav really seems to be coming in and
yep.
bowling well for them. So
He's on the top of the wicket takers list, isn't he? So
overall, I think the four teams at the top, plus I think the top six, so to speak. Really, really are looking good. The top six right now, in Rajasthan, KKR, Gujarat, Punjab, Lucknow, and DC.
yeah.
The four at the bottom, Royal Challengers, Bangalore, Mumbai, and Chennai. Sunrisers, Hyderabad is difficult. I think that those three, which we've already always said is the big teams, your Manchester Uniteds and Liverpools from the Premier League sort of thing. I think the Royal Challenge, RCB, Mumbai Indians, and Chennai are like those. And, yeah, they will need to it's not going to be easy for them to finish in the top four. I think the rest of the teams have really got their act
Yeah.
together. So yeah, interesting week ahead. So let's look forward to the next week. One thing I guess from a CSK's perspective is fact. I mean, we mentioned Deepak Chahar, but I think he's now out of the tournament, so he's not going to come back. So that's going to be a big, big blow. But fingers crossed, you know, CSK, well, do well in the next thing. That probably we've covered all the teams, you know, and looked at it. So next week is going to be another week of double headers and stuff like that.
Yes. I think the Dew will go off in the equation. Hopefully, it's going to be interesting to watch next week. Srini, I'm really excited to see what if the tables turn. For some of these teams.
I agree. Like, you know, there's a couple of things. You know, one is the Dew going away as kind of we get into proper summer in India. And the other thing is, like, you know, as pitchers getting start to use more often, whether they slow down and, like, you know, spin becomes a much more major factor. That might be another one to look at, because it's obviously they are using the same four grounds again and again, so there's only so much. So it'll be interesting. Rajasthan Royals, you know, I can see Ravi Ashwin and Chahal licking their lips, you know, if that is something that comes towards them. So it'll be an interesting one.
It will be.
Anyway, on that note, let's wrap up this week's podcast.
Yep.
If you like the sound of this, you know, please subscribe to this podcast and follow the website Yellow and Blues. We are on Twitter as well, at Yellow and Blues. Do leave your reviews and ratings on this podcast on Spotify or any other platform from which you get from. Until then, this is your hosts Venkat and Srini signing off. Have a good week.